All right, what's up, New Orleans? What's up across the Gulf South? And to you listening wherever you are tonight at WWL.com, the radio.com app. Welcome on into the show. You know, I'm getting into slap fights with some national NBA writers tonight, if you've been following Twitter for the last hour and a half or so. Come at me, bros and gals. Just calling out some people for a little hypocrisy here regarding their calls for Anthony Davis trades. And then saying, oh, you can't call for trades in other markets in the NBA. That's not right. When the same people have been doing it here for years. We'll get into that a little later in the show. Of course, Saints Eagle is going to start it off for us tonight. We've got Saint Sound, Alvin Kamara, Ted Ginn, PJ Williams, a lot more. And we'll answer five burning questions about this game. And our sports staff, Zach Deuce, myself, Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, Mark, our whole sports staff answered five burning questions about the Saints game. We'll get into that in just a little bit. Josh Liskowitz, a Pro Football Focus, one of my favorites and maybe my favorite analytical website out there. He'll join us at the bottom of the hour. Our weekend NFL picks. This is different than pick six, although we have a hell of a race in pick six. We're all tied at 51. Is it 50 or 51 wins this year? We'll see what happens. Still got a few weeks to go on that one. My buddy Steve Kortz, recovering from a little knee injury last week. He'll join us in hour number two. Mike Triplett wrote an incredible piece on Drew Brees, compiling some stories as Drew Brees gets ready to turn 40, some untold stories of Drew Brees. Some of those we'll share with you, again, courtesy of Mike Triplett, our frequent guest of the show and friend of the program, ESPN.com, NFL Nation writer. We'll do that in hour number two. Just full disclosure, we tried to get Mike on, but look, Mike was doing a ton of stuff today, and really, he was all over the place doing this story, so he wasn't able to come on, but I did want to share some of these with you. Also, the NFL, I think, is going to be facing a Rooney Rule crisis here. I don't think there's any doubt about it. When you had a slew of minority head coaches fired, and then you have just some really, and I know it's an uncomfortable, let me say this before I get into this anymore, because instantly when we hear Rooney Rule and minority coaches, you have an instant visceral reaction from some, I think most, on either side of this issue when you start talking about this. But I'm just going to lay out the facts for you here and why I think that what's happened in the last week, week and a half with this is a serious black eye for the NFL and something that you can bet right now the league offices are having conversations about. And this all kind of stems from what happened with out there in Arizona, firing Steve Wilks after a year when everybody thought they'd be abysmal. Spoiler alert, they were. Nobody really thought they'd be anything else than that. And then they hire Cliff Kingsbury, who wasn't even able to win at Texas Tech. We've been talking about that on this program, and now that's getting some national play here today. So we'll get into that now, number two. And also, college football apparently is going to be looking at revising their targeting rule, which I think is good. It looks like they might be going to a two-tiered system, much like if you follow basketball now, really college or pro, when they have the flagrant one or flagrant two. Two varying calls there, the severity of it. It sounds like they might be going to targeting one, targeting two, which I think will be great. So that's in hour number two. Hour three, we've got Tyler Nunez, associate editor at TigerAd.com, to come in and talk a little LSU basketball. Nice win for them in their SEC opener. Sports Libs, we'll talk more, like we said, AD, NBA, and Pelicans. And our moment of zen from Pat Swilling, who's on with Christian out there at the Players Show earlier today. So we'll get into a lot here in hour number one, but our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll at WWL.com. With the game on the line Sunday, and I am curious about this, and I think this stems from the Nick Foles magic that I think it's a little intangible, it's a little real for the Philadelphia Eagles. As Saints fans out there listening, if the game is on the line late in the fourth quarter, and really we're framing this as a one-score game either way, with the game on the line, who do you trust more, the Saints offense or the Saints defense? Who do you want on the field to win you a football game here this weekend or in the playoffs? The Saints offense or the Saints defense? You can cast your vote at WWL.com. And I'm interested to hear from you about this. And open lines most of the show. Lots of NFL talk. If you want to talk Saints Eagles, NFL playoffs, or if you want to get in on this Anthony Davis conversation, certainly would love for you to hop on in. 504-260-1870. And the text line is 870-870. And we will go to the phones to start off the program. It's Ryan downtown. You're kicking us off here tonight, Ryan. What's going on?
Hey, Seth, You know, everybody's making like comparisons to 09 about like teams we lost to and stuff like that.
Sure, yeah.
I bet you you probably haven't heard this one yet.
Okay, hit me.
What is the significance of us playing the Eagles? How are they similar to the Cardinals in 09?
Well, yeah, Tim says that's where I was just going to go. They're birds. Other than that, I'm not sure. You tell me. Well, they are birds, but yeah, go ahead, Ryan.
So, just like Kurt Warner and Nick Foles, people believe in this magic they have, right?
Sure.
But in 09, who won the NFC in 08?
Well, that would have been the Cardinals because they lost to the Steelers in the Super Bowl that year.
Exactly. Yeah? So, if the Eagles, we would have beaten the team back to in both years that won the NFC the year before.
Okay, that's interesting. I hadn't heard this angle before, Ryan. I like it. So the Eagles are like the Cardinals in 09 when you're opening up here against the defending champions who have some kind of magic, maybe at the quarterback position. Okay, all right, I'm kind of behind that. I would say maybe a little different here because of what Nick Foles has done late in games, but I can kind of get behind that, Ryan. All right, I like it. I like it. Haven't seen, I heard that one yet or seen it. So I like it here. Cardinals and Eagles comparisons. Cardinals from 09 and the Eagles this year. All right, Ryan, I like it. To David on the phone lines we go in New Orleans. David, welcome into the program.
Yeah, how you doing tonight?
I'm all right, David. What's up?
Well, the Pelicans are talking about trading, but not really. They were thinking about it, but Anthony Davis just wants to help the Pelicans right now, and he said he'd want his legacy to last more over money. Now, he just wants to help out the Pelicans right now. So I don't think they trade right now. I think he'd probably take that extension and stay with the Pelicans for this year.
Well, I took it differently. Well, they're not going to trade him this year. Anybody who thought they were going to trade Anthony Davis this year was out of their minds. I've been arguing that. It might happen this summer. But I took that comment, and you're right. He said that he values his legacy and really in between the lines there, championships more than money. And look, the Pelicans can offer him the richest contract in NBA history this offseason. I took what AD said to mean, shot across the bow, that I don't care what kind of money you're going to offer us. If I can't win a title here, I'm out. I think that's exactly what he meant. I don't think it's necessarily a complete done deal like some people are making it that he's gone. I've never said that. I think the tendency is or going the way that he is going to leave this offseason. Via trade, by the way, kind of forced his way out. He's still under contract through next year, so it would have to be via trade. But, yeah, I don't think that meant that he's going to stay just because he likes New Orleans. We'll see. It'll be fascinating to cover that this summer. There's no doubt about it. 504-260-1870 is the phone number. That's area code 504-260-1870. Dave in Algiers.
Yeah, Seth, look, I've been listening, and I heard Christian earlier say, you know, the Eagles can't stop the run. They can't run, and I've been hearing, you know, this and that about, you know, how the Eagles can't do this and they can't do that. Hey, man, look, let's not forget, and I'm sure nobody has, and especially in the Saints organization, they better not have, but let's not forget that the Eagles went to L.A. and beat the Rams. They did us a big favor there. They went to Chicago and beat the Bears. Yeah, you know, the field goal kicker. He doinked it twice off the, you know, off the crossbar.
Right, the double doink. They're calling that the double doink, by the way. I guess that's officially been that.
So let's not take the Eagles lightly, man. I hope the Saints aren't. And that's it. I'd like you to comment, sir.
Well, I don't think you should take the Eagles lightly. I don't think anybody is taking the Eagles lightly. Not that I've heard. Maybe some in the fan base, let's be honest here, it doesn't really matter what the fans think. But not only have they gone as underdogs in the last four playoff games and won, but they bring in a team here that's just not the same team. It's not the same team that we saw on November 18th here in the Superdome. Like, it's just not. And I'm not saying that anybody inside that organization's, I guess, taking them lightly. I do know some fans are. But nobody inside that organization is. I shouldn't say nobody. Nobody should be. Let me put it that way. Nobody should be. I don't know, pretend to know exactly what everybody thinks inside that building. I'm going to say nobody should be taking them lightly. Tim Zimmer wanted to comment on this. He's taking a phone call right now, but 504-260-1870. Tim, what you got, man? Tim Zimmer, our studio producer.
Oh, the one thing I was going to say was when you look at – okay, so the Eagles basically have been in five must-win games the last, you know, five to six
sure.
weeks. And if you look at those teams, you look at the Redskins, they played twice without Alex Smith. One of those games Colt McCoy got hurt in. You had the Dallas Cowboys in which they lost that game to Dak Prescott. You had the game against Houston in which they won. You had the Bears last week. And I think that's five. Yeah, that's five right there. So are any of the – who do you – out of all those, you know, those teams, the Cowboys, the Eagles – or the Cowboys, uh-huh. the Redskins, the Texans, and the, I'm blanking on the other team. Who is the best quarterback of that grouping?
Oh, that's a good question.
Redskins, are you, Houston Texans, Bears, and Cowboys. Who is the best quarterback of those three?
I think it's Dak. I think people hate on Dak, but Dak – he's better than a game manager to me. I think he limits his mistakes. I think, he's only in year three here.
Is he better than Deshaun Watson?
Yeah. Yeah, right now I would take Dak Prescott over Deshaun Watson. You look what Dak Prescott did against a pretty good Seattle defense. Not great. Pretty good, though. Compared to what, Deshaun Watson was terrible in the playoffs at home.
Well, Deshaun Watson did put up 30 points on that Eagles defense. And the reason I say this is because I would take Breeze, obviously, over all those quarterbacks.
Sure.
And all those quarterbacks other than Watson put less than 30 points up on that Philly defense. So if that's the case, I think Breeze, being at home in this game, is going to easily put up 30 points.
Oh, well,
You look at
well,
the Saints,
I picked him to put up 30, so what am I saying here? I actually picked him to put up 35.
The Saints offense has done this season in the Dome. Take away week 17, they're averaging over 30 points a game. So
yeah.
I just think that it's almost, I wouldn't say a shoe-in, but come on. I mean, the Eagles defense and the Saints right now, I think 30 points is
yeah,
minimum.
Here, I do want to dispel a little bit of a myth, and I've heard this, and I know our last caller said that the Eagles, he's heard that the Eagles were a bad rush defense. That's not the truth. The Eagles are a top 10 rush defense this year. In most any statistical category you look at, the one that I tend to look at is DVOA. That's when you're adjusting your offensive or defensive rankings for your opponent's strengths. It's a really good analytic. You can find it at Football Outsiders, and they are number 9 in rush defense DVOA. I mean, that is a good rush defense. The Saints are 3rd in that metric. Houston was the top rush defense in that metric in the league. But this Eagles defense is a good unit against the run, mainly because of that front four. They're actually worse against the pass. We'll take a break. Back with more of your calls. What do you think here? Saints-Eagles coming up. Again, our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll. With the game on the line, who do you trust more, Saints offense, Saints defense? You can find that at WWL.com. Your phone call's coming back. I'm Seth Dunlap, and this is The Last Lap on WWL. Welcome back to the show. Of course, we're leading off with Saints-Eagles tonight. Josh Liskowitz, Pro Football Focus, coming up in about 7 minutes. Can't wait for his analysis here. But back to the phone lines we go, as I want to squeeze as many of you in. I think we hit a nerve there, or I did, by saying Dak Prescott was the best of those four quarterbacks that Tim mentioned there. I think Dak is certainly a sufficient NFL quarterback. I think even that word doesn't do him credit. He's got a 96 rating in his career, 96.9 this year, threw for almost 4,000 yards, 22 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, highly efficient, which in that offense is exactly what you need. I don't people hating on Dak just because they hate the Cowboys. Got to pay attention here, folks. Let's go to Carl in Covington. Carl, what's going on?
Hey.
Hey.
I'd just like to add a little humor to Bobby's commercial.
Oh.
he advertises King Cake and the blue pills.
So oh, well, you know what? I'm going to let you give that one to Tim because I don't know if we're going to allow that here on the show. I know where you're going with this, Carl, but why don't maybe Tim will pick that up and give it to him, and we'll see if it flies or not. To Mike in New Orleans. Mike, welcome into the program.
Yeah. Seth, this is your buddy Mike Stiles.
Mike, what's going on? I heard you you caught my little Zach Lowe riff tonight.
Yes, I was proud of you because that guy's a tool. So.
I don't want to take shots at Zach Lowe. He's an excellent NBA writer. Let's just say I disagree with him quite often. I'll say that.
And to be fair, you know he was defending my Sixers today.
He was, and, which I'm a little surprised you were on my side in this. So. There you go.
Well, I don't know. I just can't stand that guy. But anyway, I was actually calling to ask you what's wrong with you about Dak Prescott over Deshaun Watson.
Bro, have you paid attention to Dak Prescott? Just because he doesn't have the glitz and glamour and the numbers here, he's playing in an offense and won't really allow him to do that. He's thrown 6 touchdowns, 1 interception the last 3 weeks. He's led his team to the playoff, just won a playoff game against a team that never seems to lose, never has lost their opening playoff game. He hasn't. Really, Russell Wilson has never lost his opening playoff game in his career. That was the first time. Maybe you need a little help from the striped shirts there, but he's been a good quarterback. Are you arguing he's a bad quarterback?
I wouldn't take him.
I wouldn't take him over your guy, Foles.
Which, either one, man. I mean, actually, that's a good question for you. If you were the Eagles, you have Nick Foles and Carson Wentz. Mm-hmm. Moving forward, what would you do?
You know, you and I have had this conversation, Mike, and I maintain it. I've actually talked about it here on the program. If I was made GM of the Philadelphia Eagles this offseason, what I would do is I would keep Nick Foles and I'd trade Carson Wentz for that King's ransom, because I think Nick Foles plus 2 first-round picks or whatever it is, 3 first-round picks, is better than Carson Wentz and nothing else. That's my view. What are you? You're the Eagles fan. What would you say?
I think it depends on how the rest of these playoffs go. When you look at it, I mean, Foles is 29 years old and Wentz is 26. And Wentz has an injury history, and we also have him under contract. And like you said, you could trade him for stuff, whereas Wentz, if he's a free agent, can you imagine if he goes to the Giants and we have to play him for the next 10 years?
Yeah.
I would hate that.
Right.
So it would be tough to see, but at the same time, just letting Wentz go and, you know, I don't know. I'm telling you, it's all they're talking about in Philly right now.
Oh, I know. I was on Philadelphia radio earlier today, and they kept asking me, what would you do? And I told them that, and they kind of was like, yeah, a lot of our fans kind of agree with that. So I guess we'll see.
Negadelphia. We're in the divisional playoff series, and I don't know. I'm looking at these last 5 games that the Saints have had, and they eked out a win against the Steelers. And then, I mean, I'm giving you the Panthers loss. That's a wash.
Right. Don't even pay attention to that.
I know the Panthers. The last time they played the Panthers, 12-9, and then that.
Okay, wait, Mike, are you coming here? Are you predicting your Eagles are going to win? You're on in 38 states and like 12 countries here. Mike Stiles in New Orleans. Are you predicting an Eagles win here?
I'm saying that the line's too high.
Okay, that's fair. I was kind of thinking that too.
I'm not going to predict an Eagles victory because then I need my dog back, because you know us Eagles fans do that when we're 4-0 as the underdog in the playoffs.
All
so.
Right, there you go. Dog mask. You got your dog mask ready, Mike?
Woof, woof.
Oh, there he goes. All right, buddy. Thanks for calling, man.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right, Mike. My buddy Mike Stiles here. Resident Eagles fan. Saints fan as well. But, you know, from Jersey, grew up an Eagles fan. There seems to be a person in our building on our sports staff who's a little similar here. Grew up in the Northeast. Who could that be? Might be our sideline reporter. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. We'll get to all your calls in not too long. I'm especially interested in talking to Joe in Mandeville here, our resident Cowboys fan. Maybe he agrees with me finally on my Dak Prescott love. We'll see. But first, Josh Liskowitz, Pro Football Focus, joins the program at @PFF_Josh on Twitter, covers the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Josh, how you doing, man? What's going on?
I'm doing really well. It's the best week of the year. Can't wait to get these games going.
Oh, me either, man. I was just saying that. I said it's my second favorite week of the year. I think opening week of the NCAA basketball tournament is my favorite. Maybe this weekend, number two for me. But I guess that's a little tomato-tomato. Josh, maybe you can settle this Dak Prescott conversation, oddly, that we've had here in New Orleans. I don't know why we're having it. I guess a caller spurned it. But do you see and do you grade Dak Prescott as a quality starting quarterback?
Yeah, I would say he's pretty average. I think he graded out as our 18th highest graded quarterback, so right in the middle somewhere, and I think that's about fair. Obviously, they've got a lot of pieces around him. That defense is solid at every level, and that's really what's carrying that team. They have Zeke Elliott. Can't ask for a guy to help a quarterback better than that in terms of on offense. And obviously, Amari Cooper, even though he has his flashes of complete inconsistency at times, he really was the linchpin in them turning their season around. So he's got a lot of pieces around him, but I think when it's all said and done, he's still a pretty average quarterback.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of with you there. I was just, people were saying he shouldn't even be starting in the NFL, and I was like, what? I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, that's – I don't think there's 32 starters in the NFL.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
There you go. Okay, let's talk about the other quarterback that's going to be featured here. We all know Drew is great. Nick Foles, I would think, and I haven't looked at the ratings here at the end of the season for you, Josh, but I would think Nick Foles probably grades out pretty averagely, but something magical about him in the playoffs. I don't think there's any question about that either.
Yeah, you're right about that. It's been really interesting with him down the stretch here. Off the top of my head, I don't know the exact numbers, but Wentz actually has graded this year significantly better than him on first and second down. For whatever reason, he just seems to have a knack for completing third and long passes, which obviously that's critical and that's great, but I don't think it's sustainable, and I think that probably ends this week.
And when you look at this Philadelphia team and you see matchups here, what can the Saints exploit and what can the Eagles exploit? Where are the advantages here, talent-wise, roster-wise? What do you see? What does PFF see?
Sure. As far as what Philly can exploit, it's got to be going after P.J. Williams in the slot, whether it's with Nelson Aguilar, who scored last week, Golden Tate, who played a big role all of a sudden for them. I think that's where they need to try and focus their attention, is attacking P.J. Williams and whoever else is in the slot for New Orleans. And conversely, on the other side of the ball, there's a couple different ways that New Orleans can attack. First off, I think they can attack them in terms of receiving out of the backfield. Certainly Ingram is capable of that, but that's Kamara all day long. He should have a monster day as far as that goes. And outside, Philly is still struggling that cornerback. They've had to rotate a ton of guys out there. Avante Maddox has gotten some pub recently as helping kind of rectify that situation. But the reality is even he, who's a rookie, had one big game against the Rams in week 15. And otherwise, he's graded below average in, I think, just about every single game this year. And I think that's where the Saints can really, really attack them. And I expect Breeze to go outside, whether it's to one of the young guns or his all-star super stud out there.
Josh Liskowitz, a Pro Football Focus, joining us now. The defensive front for Philadelphia is extremely good when you talk about Cox and Graham and Michael Bennett, who I think, when I watch him in the playoffs, I think his legacy is going to go and be one of the best playoff pass rushers we've ever seen. I mean, he's just been a terror the last handful of years. Is that front, are they grading out better? Are they better here down the stretch? And can this be a problem even for this good Saints offensive line?
Oh, I think that's the ultimate strength that they have, that Philly has, is their interior line. Well, not just their interior line, but their defensive line as a whole and their pass rush. They have it all. And you mentioned Bennett. What makes him so great is his ability to rush inside, to rush outside. Chris Long still gets it done on the edge. Brandon Graham doesn't get the pub he deserves because he doesn't put up sacks, but he gets pressures by the bucket load. Obviously, he had the play in the Super Bowl last year. He's still playing at a high level. And Cox is, there's basically one defensive interior player in the league that's been better than Cox this year, and it just so happens it's the best player in football, period. That's not a quarterback. So they are very, very stout up front. There's no question about that.
Yeah, it's Fletcher Cox is just, I guess, a man among boys. On the other side, I'm just curious here. Have you seen the improvement from Sheldon Rankins like we have?
Oh, there's no question about that. Yeah, and I would put Onyemata in that as well. I really like what I've seen out of him. Obviously, he was a bit of an unknown coming out of Canada, but a complete freak show in terms of athleticism. But you look at what he's done this year. We have him down for 5 sacks, 2 hits, 31 hurries. 17 additional beaten defenders on pass rush. Basically, one of the things we chart is the number of times that a defender on a pass rush beats his man across from him, but for whatever reason, it's not a pressure. Usually it's because the ball's gotten rid of too quickly. Maybe it's just a quick drop or an RPO where the quarterback's getting rid of the ball quickly. But, so he's been all over the place too. And Sheldon Rankins, as you said, 8 sacks, 6 hits, 36 hurries. He's been awesome.
Really quickly, I'd like to pick your brain on a couple of other games here. That Colts-Chiefs game, I know the Chiefs are favored here by 5.5, 6 points, but it seems like this is a pretty even game talent-wise. Would you agree there?
That's a tough call. I think skill position-wise, Kansas City is superior. You look at them as a whole. Obviously, Indy's gotten extreme production out of Eric Ebron in the red zone, and T.Y. Hilton's T.Y. Hilton. He's outstanding. But you put Kelsey and Hill together, those guys have just been absolutely insane this year, and it doesn't really matter who they roll through at running back. Damien Williams has stepped in very, very nicely for them, and I love me some Andrew Luck, but Mahomes is just on another planet from every other alien we've ever seen at quarterback. He's just unbelievable, and everything he can do in terms of the types of throws he makes, the way he extends plays, just the creativity he has in terms of, you know, understanding that he's going to have to throw from weird arm angles to get certain throws through, the way he sees guys open in different parts of the field that aren't open for any other quarterback to ever play the game. It's really just unreal what, as a collective unit, they're able to do.
What about that Chargers-Patriots game? How do you see that one going?
That one's really interesting to me. I don't know what to think of that, because part of me wants to say that outside of maybe Dallas, that New England's probably the lowest rated team remaining. Obviously, they're at home and they typically don't lose in the divisional round coming off a bye. And they're usually very, very well prepared. And I expect them to be. Chargers, obviously, being on the road, going all the way to the East Coast back to back weeks, that's really difficult. The key to that game to me is going to be Melvin Gordon. If he's not able to play on a down-by-down basis, if he's just not given the kind of production that he's given most of the year when healthy, I think it's going to be tough for them. Love Austin Eckler, and he's capable in some respects of duplicating that production, particularly as a receiver. But I really think that's a weapon that Philip Rivers needs to have at his disposal in order for the Chargers to pull off that upset.
It's Josh Liskowitz, Pro Football Focus. Josh, I always really enjoy your breakdowns, man. Keep up the great work, and I can't wait to have you back on. Enjoy this weekend.
All right, you do the same. Thank you.
All right, Josh Liskowitz again of Pro Football Focus at @PFF_Josh on Twitter. Got to take a very quick break here. When we come back, we'll get you your calls. We've got a few on hold. Hang on. You're coming up next. And we've got 4 or 5 open lines here. 504-260-1870 if you want to talk about the NFL playoffs or whatever else here sports-wise on this open lines Thursday. Tim Zimmer behind the glass. I'm Seth Dunlap, and this is The Last Lap on WWL. We will see if the Saints go all the way. Got less than a month to find that out. Got a lot of coverage this weekend, everybody. A lot of coverage. We will be at Rouse's in Covington on Saturday. That's over there on Bootlegger Road. That one, the new Rouse is up there. It's myself, Bobby Hebert, and Deuce McAllister from noon to 3 on Saturday. I certainly hope you can join us. We have had a blast, an absolute blast on these monthly shows that we're doing throughout the Saints season and the playoff version adding in Rouse's on Bootlegger Road. On Saturday, noon to 3, the new Rouse is up there. And then on Sunday, our coverage starts at 11 a.m., full Saints game day coverage. We kick it off with Fans First Take with Steve Court and myself on Sunday, 11 to 1:30, extra half hour of Fans First Take that day. And Steve Court, speaking of him, he'll be on the show next hour. So stay tuned for that. To the phone lines we go. Benjamin in Folsom. You're up, Benjamin. What's going on?
Oh, hey, Seth. I'm just wondering, back to the topic on the who would you take Saints offense and defense in the game on the line. Yeah, they have the number one rush defense, but that's not what teams will do with the game on the line. They're going to pass, and they have the 30th ranked pass defense, and Nick Foles can cut that secondary up. So I would take the Saints offense because Drew Brees is more reliable. He's got 45 game-winning touchdown drives and in fourth quarter or overtime at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I take the offense.
Yeah, I'm not saying I disagree with you there, Benjamin. I think I'd rather have the ball in number nine's hands as well if the game's on the line there. I'm kind of agreeing with you, right? To your point here, there's a huge disparity between the Saints' rush defense and the Saints' pass defense. Remember, teams are playing from behind, though. That inflates the yardage numbers. But even if you look at the advanced numbers, which I think are a better indicator of how good or bad your certain parts of your defense are, yeah, the Saints' pass defense is ranked number 22 against the pass, number 3 against the rush in DVOA. So to your point there, you're right, much worse against the pass. I did write about this today. Nick Foles is a much better thrower against man coverage. With the Saints have been playing a lot more man coverage, especially since Eli Apple came over. I am wondering if they're going to change that and scheme up some zone designs here against Nick Foles. He just has not been a good thrower of the football, a good passer against zone coverage. Interesting to see what happens there. How about Joe in Mandeville, resident Cowboy fan here. Joe, what's going on?
Yes, 1A, 1B between Dak and Deshaun, but I got to tell you, neither one of them can hit the broadside of a barn after 25 yards. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I think the offense that Dak's in allows him to be a little more successful in my mind, than especially in big moments against good defenses, than Deshaun Watson. I don't know why Bill O'Brien gets so much credit. Bill O'Brien's done nothing in the postseason in 6 years.
And look, they're not game breakers, but they are good at managing the game, and they've done well with both of them. But real quick, this is my point. You guys better be aware of the front four of Philly. I'm telling you, they do not mess around. They damn near stoned Elliott to a concussion. They took out Lamar Miller. They broke Colt's leg, and they damn near broke Nowitzki's leg. I'm telling you, they're taking out players, whether it's a conspiracy or not. These guys are very physical, and somebody will get hurt in this game.
Well, I will tell you this, Joe. Fletcher Cox has had a reputation of being a dirty football player. He's had that since he came into the league, really since before he came into the league. He's obviously a sensational talent, but so was and so is, well, maybe so was, Ndamukong Suh. Just because you're a sensational talent doesn't mean you're not a little dirty here. I'm not saying anything was intentional in the instances you mentioned there. Saints are going to have their hands full. That defensive front. It's not just Cox. It's everybody. I'd just be highly worried about Michael Bennett there, who can move inside and outside. Let's go to Chris, who's in Las Vegas at the Houdat Embassy, apparently, in Las Vegas. Chris, what's going on?
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
I
have 3 points, and I'll be very quick. And I'm typically very quick on the point after. So I've never been on your show, so it's an honor to be on here, sir.
All right, appreciate it, Chris. Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. The first thing is about the Houdat Nation, the crowd. And you had mentioned about the Houdat Nation not understanding the importance of the game, or I don't put words in your mouth, but I can promise you the Houdat Nation who's been in the Dome, like myself, I'm from Sulphur, Louisiana, but still a season ticket holder since the 90s. I mean, I think everybody recalls, you know, what happened in the 13 season, the 06 divisional game.
Before we get to, I want to just ask you, I got to stop you here because we got people listening. This is radio. They'll flip the channel and flip in and out. And I want to make sure that you are not putting words into my mouth. When did you hear me say that? I don't think Houdat Nation knows what they're doing as far as the big moments in football. I'm confused there.
No, I'm not saying that. But as far as when the discussion was about, you know, taking the Eagles seriously this weekend, and you know.
I see what you're saying. I think some in the fan base see that 41-point win and are thinking, okay, this is going to be the same kind of game. You're right there. I did
right.
say that.
And,
That's
right. And I don't want to put words in your mouth. Look, but all I want to just reassure everybody that dome will be loud, especially Section 117. I'm a cheerleader, and it's loud. It's going to be loud, and because I think everybody recalls the history between the two programs. It's been great. I think it's been great. It's going to be a great game, and it's going to be tighter than what it was because everybody, you know, understands that it's a different team, especially under Foles. So that's number one. And then number two, I'm a homer. Dak Prescott was born in Cal Chem Hospital in Sulphur, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
LSU passed on him, went to Mississippi State, and we learned. Now, I know that's college. College is different from the pros, but I got to give. Of course, I'm not a Cowgirl fan, but I got to give Dak some props. I think he's done well, and he's been part of, you know, turning that team around. The last point is defense versus offense. I would I would typically probably say offense, but I'm going to go defense on this because of the Who Dat Nation, because if it's a game, you know, the crowd, we're smart fans, we're quiet when Drew Brees is at work, he's a surgeon. But when we're on defense and it comes down, and if it's tied up, the crowd's going to get behind that defense, and we're going to see a turnover.
I hope so.
That's my final point.
All right, I hope so, Chris. I hope so. I will say, like I've been saying all week, I think the most terrifying thing in football right now is Nick Foles and the Philadelphia offense on the field down by less than a score with about 2 minutes to play. There's nothing that would terrify me more if I'm, opposing defensive coordinator than that in the NFL. Thanks for the call and thanks for listening. More of your calls coming back here. Lots to talk about Saints and Philly. 504-260-1870. Still a couple of phone lines open for you. That's area code 504-260-1870. Wherever you are listening across the world, Tim Zimmer behind the glass, Seth Dunlap here on The Last Lap. We have a Facebook live chat like we do every night at 9 o'clock coming up. WWL Radio Facebook page, you can log on there, and we will go live here at the top of the hour. Back to the phone lines we go, though. Miss Carol, welcome to the show.
Well, hello, Mr. Dunlap, Mr. Seth. I think the Saints are coming. The Saints are going all the way. Ain't no stopping us now. Let me ask you this. Are the Pels playing tonight?
Tomorrow.
Is tomorrow?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. They have to begin a 5-game road trip. Let me check that here. You probably hear me typing. I do want to check that to make sure it's right. But yeah, it's tomorrow. Saturday. I was thinking tomorrow was Saturday. I don't know why I was thinking that, but yeah, okay. Saturday.
So they're going to be on the road.
Yeah, now, see, I was thinking here for like the last 15 minutes, this was Friday, Miss Carol. You have me just remembering it's only Thursday. So there you go. So, yeah, it's
well,
Saturday.
Well, anyway, you know, because they want, you know, I know they played at home last night, didn't they?
They did. They beat the Cavaliers for the second time in a week, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, like I said, this team has been struggling, but I think they're about to find their rhythm. And if they be consistent and get healthy, they're going to be good. But listen, as far as the defense with the Saints are concerned, with number 9, it's good to be concerned, but I'm not overwhelmed and concerned at all because I believe we're going to take that business.
Well, I hope so. We'll see. You can think they're going to take care of business, but it's not up to you. It's not up to me. It's not up to Tim. It's not up to anybody listening here. It's up to those guys in that locker room. We'll find out on Sunday, 3:40 kickoff. And you can hear it right here on WWL. Thanks for the call, Ms. Carroll. Let's go to Longshore Man. I don't know if Tim wrote this as Longshore Man. I don't know if this is Longshoreman, who usually calls in. But in any case, welcome to the show. How are you?
Well, hey, Seth, I appreciate it, man. Longshoreman.
There you go. All right.
You know, hey, yeah. my wife got me a personalized jersey made.
Oh.
And I hope none of her friends are listening because I didn't have the heart to tell her that she spelled it wrong.
Oh, no. How did she spell it? I am curious now. Yeah, see,
well,
now you got the Who Dat Nation.
Longshoreman instead of Longshoreman.
Oh, they did.
That's okay.
Oh, just like Tim spelled it. Okay, your wife and Tim here spelled it the same way. Okay, I like it.
It's all good, man. It's all good. I love the jersey. It's fun to wear it, actually. Hey, I do have to make a comment, and with all due respect to Joe, your resident Cowboy fan or Cowgirl fan, I appreciate the Who Dat Nation appreciates your tip and your consideration that we need to worry about the defensive front of Philly. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Seth. Is that the same front four that we faced back in Week 11? And how many points did we score against them?
48. There was one – who was missing in there? There was one person that wasn't missing, and that's off the top of my head I'm forgetting. Was it Graham? Granted, Graham might not play.
Well, we were missing Davenport.
Yeah, true.
We were missing Davenport.
True.
And, hey, look, it's going to – the game's going to unfold the way it unfolds, but this is our house, and I don't think Philly's going to come in here – and look, it may not be – it's not going to be a beatdown again, but I can promise you this. I will be shocked, and I think the Who Dat Nation will be shocked, if they let the Eagles come into our house and beat us down. It ain't going to happen. And you're talking about – I think one of the questions was, would you rather be the defense or the offense
yep.
on the field?
Real quick.
The game on the line? Well, look back at some of the games. I can't tell you exactly which ones, but we have had games where it was our offense that,
yep,
that went.
All right, Ed, we're up against the clock. Sorry, Longshoreman.